Today we have the great joy of celebrating a feast which, in my mind, has become one of the most important in the entire church year, and that is the Feast of the Holy Family. And I say it's become so important because it is the family, and marriage in particular, that are under attack right now. And so we need to do everything we can to defend and to build up the family. If we look at what's going on within the family and ask ourselves why, where's the trouble coming from, what's going on? There are, of course, lots of things that we could point to, but it all comes down ultimately to one word, selfishness. That's the problem in marriage. Well over 90% of the marriages that break up, it all comes down to selfishness. It'll take 1,001 forms. The devil doesn't care how he gets us as long as he does. We think about how he operates. If he showed up looking like a fire-breathing dragon, we would tell him to get lost. Instead, he appears as a friend, and he tells us what we want to hear. And so he will tell us things like, oh, it's okay if you do this, it's okay if you do that. And so we look at the various things that are undermining marriage today. There have always been problems like infidelity. There are things like various addictions where people decide that alcohol or drugs are more important than spouse and children. One that I never thought we would have to address, but is happening a lot these days, video games. It's a particular problem for men. Women don't get addicted to them the way their brain is, but men do. And men are actually putting their stupid video games in front of their wife and kids. And it's destroying their marriages. But we can even look deeper than that. Because we have to be able to see where the root of some of this selfishness lies. We live, of course, in the most selfish society that history has ever known. And consequently, that's going to come right into the home. And we bought an awful lot of lies that the devil has been presenting. Because there's a better way. There's a way that fits you better than what God has to say. The biggest problem, of course, with the selfishness is going to be contraception. More than 90% of Catholic couples of childbearing age are either contracepting or they're sterilized. And what happens when one contracepts is rather than two people expressing a union of marriage, two people truly expressing love by a full giving of self and a full receiving of the self of the other, it becomes two people using each other. It becomes an act of selfishness. It's pleasure without responsibility. Nobody likes to be used. But somehow in our society and in our world today, we present this as the greatest thing that's happened. This is freedom. Freedom for what? To be used and to use others? It's a violation of your own dignity, and it's a violation of the dignity of your spouse. And it's a violation of your marriage vows. If we really stop to ask ourselves, for those of you who are married, what is it that you vowed on the day you got married? That you would love this person every day for the rest of your life. You did not make a vow to have happy feelings about the person. You didn't make a vow to be nice. You made a vow to love. And what exactly does that mean? Oftentimes, depending on the readings that a couple might choose for their wedding, I will point out to them that if they've chosen readings that talk about love, that what they are saying is that from this day forward, I will never be selfish again. Now, do I really think that they're going to be able to do that as they walk out of the church? No. Do I expect that by the time they die, they will have learned to do that? Yes. How many of them actually do? Probably none. But that's what marriage is about. It's about love. And the reason marriages aren't working is because the couples aren't loving one another. They're being selfish toward one another. Love is about seeking the good of the other. Love is about dying to self. Love is about serving the other. Love is about putting the other first. That is not what our society tells us. That is not what the devil wants. The devil, remember, is total selfishness. And that's what he wants from us. Even if we look at eternity, remember what hell is. It's pure selfishness. Everyone in hell is absolutely, purely, and perfectly selfish. Everyone in heaven is absolutely, perfectly, and purely about charity. It's pure love. There is no selfishness in heaven. And so we see even in the marriage vows to love one another that married life is a way of saints. People have this weird idea that somehow married life is sort of a second or third class way to go. It is not. It's almost as if, well, if I can't be a priest or I can't be a nun, then I guess I'll have to settle for being married. What a bunch of garbage. Marriage is a vocation. It is a call from Almighty God, and it is a call to be saints. Married life is holy. It is not a second or third class way to go. It is the way that God is going to make you a saint. And what he wants is not only that you would become a saint, but that you'll help your spouse become a saint and that you will raise saints up for God. And so ask yourself as you look at your own household, are we living like saints? If we look, for instance, at the second reading, St. John tells us that we have to follow the commandment of God. Well, the very first commandment of God is to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and to subdue it. That's the very first commandment of God to humanity. And isn't it interesting that now we suddenly think that we have a better way than God? We think that having more money or material things is more important than children. Ask anybody who has a child that's this big what they want. They want a brother or a sister. The greatest gift you can give to a child is not more money and more things. It's a sibling. Children love babies. The devil doesn't. And so are we giving into the ways of the world and saying no to God? Because St. John reminds us that the commandment of Christ is to love. To love your neighbor. And is that what you're doing in your marriage? I mean, that's what all of us are supposed to be doing. That's the commandment of our Lord. But in marriage, that's the vow that you've made to one another. Are you really doing that? And it is certainly possible that two selfish people can learn how to live together. Be a pretty miserable existence, but they can do that. But that's not what married life is supposed to be. Married life is for two people to learn to be selfless, to learn to love. What is a saint? A saint is somebody who loves. And again, that's not about having happy feelings and gushy, mushy stuff. That's not what love is. It's not about romance. Love is about serving God and serving neighbor. And so if we really stop and think about what it would look like practically within a family, there has to be a hierarchy of love. God has to be first. Your spouse has to be second, and your children are third. Now, that doesn't mean that the time that's going to be spent is necessarily that way, especially if you have little ones. Obviously, you're going to be spending the vast majority of your time and effort on your kids. But it's not about that. It's about the love. If you want to love your children more, you must first love your spouse more. And if you want to love your spouse more, you have to love God more. Because the love flows from God through your spouse to your children. So we have to have the order correct. And in a lot of Catholic homes, God gets an hour a week. We come to church and that's about it. We live like pagans the rest of the time. Are we really putting God first? Is he really at the center of our family? Is he at the center of our own life individually, as well as your life as a couple? Is God at the center of your family life? So that by your words and by your example, you're showing your children what it is to be saints. Are you helping one another to become saints and to grow in holiness? Are you encouraging that? See, it's so easy for us to give into the worldliness and to the materialism and all the things around us and to not put the spiritual first. And look at the results. It's a breakdown of marriage. Between 55 and 60% of marriages today are ending in divorce. That's a tragedy beyond belief. And again, we can look at a whole variety of reasons, but if you just watch with the introduction of every single form of contraception that they've invented, the number or the percentage of divorce went up until the 1960s, where they came out with that unfortunate pill, and it went up to 55, 60%, and that's where it stayed. Even though the guy who invented that disgusting thing came out and said what he's done is wrong and he's destroyed marriages and he's destroyed people's lives. We don't want to hear that. We bought the devil's lie. People want to look at the teaching of the church. Remember that every single Christian denomination in the world condemned every form of contraception completely until 1930. Then all of a sudden the Protestants had some sort of awakening, and en masse all of them, because of actually the Anglicans. There was a thing called the Lambeth Conference back in 1930. And suddenly they all decided that contraception is an okay thing. The only group in the world that said it is not is the Catholic Church. And so what happens? The church is in the Middle Ages. It's about time the church gets with the 21st century. The church was in the 21st century in 1968 when the document Humanae Vitae, when Pope Paul VI wrote about it and said exactly what's going to happen if we allow the contraceptive mentality. And he has been proven to be a prophet. Everything that he said in that document has come to pass. But still we want to buy the lie. If we look at what God is asking, like I said earlier, the way of married life, the family life, is about saints. Look at what happened in the first reading today. We hear about Hannah bringing Samuel to the temple. She dedicated him completely to God, so much so that she literally left him at the temple so that Eli the priest would raise him. You have dedicated your children to God. You brought them to church. You have had them baptized. They are consecrated to the Holy Trinity. Are you raising them that way? Are you making them holy? Are you teaching them to be saints? That's what God is looking for from families. If we want to protect and defend and build up families, we have to do it the way God has given us. Remember, the way of the devil, it's all lies. And it's all selfishness, and it all leads to emptiness. But it sure sounds good on the surface. The way of God oftentimes sounds difficult on the surface, and yet it's that which leads to fulfillment. And that's what he wants for us. He wants the best. And of course, he wants us in heaven. And if anyone again thinks that married life is somehow secondary, if we get to heaven, we're going to find that the vast, vast, vast majority of people in heaven were married people. Not nuns from the monasteries, not monks. There'll certainly be plenty of those too, but the vast majority were married. Because married life is a way of saints. God is calling you to be holy. He is calling you to be a saint, and he is calling you to raise up new saints for himself. If marriage is under attack, then we need to come to its defense. And it's not just coming to its defense by teaching the truth. For those of you who are married, it's coming to the defense of your own marriage by living the truth. So look at what God has said and follow what God has laid out for marriage. The devil's alternative has proven to be an absolute disaster, and people continue to buy his lie. It's time that we reject his lie and accept the truth of God. Live that truth in your marriage. Live what it is that you have vowed to truly love, and seek that love in every single way so that you're helping one another to become saints, you're raising up new saints, and that your family will be truly a holy family.